Staphylococcus, Streptococcus, and Enterococcus. We will explore their unique characteristics, pathogenic mechanisms, and the clinical implications of infections they cause. Listeners will gain insights into how these organisms are identified in the lab, the diseases they can lead to, and the importance of antibiotic stewardship in managing infections. Join us as we uncover the complexities of these common yet significant pathogens.
Welcome back to another episode of Microbiology Roundtable. I'm Dr. Caitlin Scott, and today we're diving into the world of gram-positive cocci. You know, those little round bacteria that can cause big problems? It's like they're the troublemakers of the microbial world.
Absolutely, Caitlin. Gram-positive cocci include some well-known characters, Staphylococcus, Streptococcus, and Enterococcus. These organisms are not just interesting from a microbiological perspective, they're also crucial in clinical settings. Their impact on human health is significant, and understanding them is key to effective treatment.
Right on, Olivia. It's fascinating how these bacteria can be both harmless and harmful, depending on the context. They can be part of our normal flora, but can turn pathogenic under the right conditions. It's like they have a dual identity. One minute they're friendly neighbors, and the next they're causing infections.
Exactly, and that's why we need to recognize them for what they are. Today we'll explore their identities, how they cause disease, and what we can do about it. So buckle up, everyone. It's going to be a wild ride through the microscopic universe.
Let's not forget the importance of lab identification in this journey. Knowing how to spot these bacteria is crucial for diagnosis and treatment. It's all written in the code, after all.
And as we follow the cascade of their effects on the body, we'll see how our immune system responds. This is where the story gets even more interesting.
So, let's get started. There's always a microbe behind the curtain, and today we're pulling it back to reveal what's lurking there. All right, let's dive into the microbial identity of our gram-positive cocci stars. First up, we have Staphylococcus. These little guys are spherical and often form clusters that resemble grapes. Hence the name. They can be found on our skin and in our noses, just hanging out like uninvited guests at a party.
Right on, Caitlin. Staphylococcus is quite versatile. You've got species like Staphylococcus aureus, which can be a real troublemaker, causing everything from skin infections to more severe conditions like pneumonia. It's like the villain in our microbial story.
Fair point, Olivia. Then we have Streptococcus, which tends to form chains. These bacteria can be classified into groups based on their hemolytic properties. Alpha, beta, and gamma, Janta hemolysis. It's a bit like sorting them into different categories based on their superpowers.
Exactly. And let's not forget Enterococcus, which is another player in this game. They're usually found in the intestines and can be quite resilient, especially when it comes to antibiotic resistance. It's like they've got their own survival guide.
Speaking of resilience, Enterococcus faecalis and Enterococcus faecium are the ones we often see in clinical settings. They can cause urinary tract infections and endocarditis, among other issues. It's crucial to identify them accurately in the lab to ensure proper treatment.
Let's follow the cascade here. The staining properties of these organisms are key to their identification. They all retain the crystal violet stain, appearing purple under the microscope. This characteristic is fundamental in differentiating them from gram-negative bacteria, which don't hold onto that stain.
So, to sum it up, we've got our three main characters. Staphylococcus, Streptococcus, and Enterococcus. Each has its own quirks and habitats, making them fascinating yet important to understand in the context of infections.
Absolutely. Knowing their identities helps us tackle the infections they can cause, and that's what we're here for.
So let's jump into how these gram-positive cocci actually cause trouble in the body. It's like they've got a whole toolkit of tricks. For instance, Staphylococcus aureus produces toxins like alpha toxin, which can punch holes in our cells. Talk about a dramatic entrance.
No kidding, Caitlin. Those toxins are just the beginning. Staphylococcus also has enzymes like coagulase that can help it evade the immune system. It's like they're wearing a cloak of invisibility. This ability to hide from our defenses makes infections particularly challenging to treat.
Fair point, Olivia. Then we have Streptococcus, which employs a different strategy. Some species produce streptolysins that can lyse red and white blood cells. This not only aids in their survival, but also contributes to the severity of infections. It's a classic case of divide and conquer.
Right. And let's not overlook Enterococcus. These guys are known for their resilience, especially against antibiotics. They can form biofilms, making it tough for treatments to penetrate. It's like they're building a fortress around themselves.
Speaking of resilience, Enterococcus faecium has become notorious for its vancomycin resistance. This is a huge concern in clinical settings, as it limits our treatment options. Understanding these virulence factors is crucial for managing infections effectively.
Let's follow the cascade here. The implications of these virulence factors extend beyond just individual infections. They can influence how easily these bacteria spread within communities, leading to outbreaks. This interconnectedness is vital to grasp when we think about public health.
So, to sum it up, these gram-positive cocci have a variety of mechanisms to cause disease, from toxins to immune evasion. It's a real microbial chess game out there. Knowing their strategies helps us develop better treatments and control measures.
Exactly. It's all written in the code of their biology, and understanding that code is key to combating these infections effectively.
So, let's talk about how our immune system responds when these gram-positive cocci come knocking at the door. It's like a well-orchestrated defense system. When pathogens invade, our body's first line of defense kicks in. Those trusty white blood cells.
Right on, Caitlin. The innate immune response is crucial here. Neutrophils and macrophages are like the frontline soldiers, ready to engulf and destroy these invaders. They recognize the bacteria through specific patterns, almost like they have a wanted poster.
Fair point, Olivia. But here's where it gets interesting. These bacteria have evolved mechanisms to evade our immune responses. For example, Staphylococcus aureus can produce proteins that interfere with opsonization, making it harder for phagocytes to recognize them. It's like they're wearing disguises.
Plot twist. They're not just hiding, they're also creating chaos. Some of these pathogens release toxins that can damage host tissues, leading to inflammation. It's a double whammy, attacking our cells while simultaneously distracting our immune system.
Speaking of inflammation, that's another key player in this battle. While it's essential for fighting infections, excessive inflammation can lead to tissue damage. It's a bit of a balancing act, isn't it? Too much inflammation can be as harmful as not enough.
Let's follow the cascade here. Once the innate response is activated, it sets the stage for the adaptive immune response, which is more specific. T cells and B cells come into play, learning to recognize these pathogens for future encounters. It's like training a specialized task force.
Exactly, and this memory is crucial for long-term immunity. If we encounter these bacteria again, our immune system is ready to spring into action. It's a fascinating interplay of defense mechanisms, showcasing how complex and adaptive our bodies are.
And that's why understanding these interactions is so important for developing vaccines and treatments. It's all written in the code of our immune response.
Next up, let's dive into the clinical syndromes associated with our gram-positive cocci friends. Each of these bacteria can cause a range of infections, and it's crucial to recognize the signs and symptoms. For instance, Staphylococcus aureus can lead to skin infections like boils or abscesses. It's like they're throwing a little party on your skin, except it's not a fun one.
Right on, Caitlin. Beyond skin infections, Staphylococcus can also cause more severe conditions, such as pneumonia and endocarditis. It's a sneaky pathogen that can escalate quickly, especially in vulnerable populations. Knowing these clinical presentations can help in early diagnosis and treatment.
Fair point, Olivia. Now, when we shift our focus to Streptococcus, we see a different picture. Streptococcus pyogenes, for example, is notorious for causing strep throat and can also lead to scarlet fever. It's like a two-for-one deal of discomfort.
Plot twist, it doesn't stop there. Streptococcus can also cause more serious complications, like rheumatic fever, which can affect the heart. It's a reminder that these bacteria can have long-term effects if not treated properly.
And then we have Enterococcus, which often lurks in the intestines. It can cause urinary tract infections and is a common culprit in hospital-acquired infections. It's like the uninvited guest that just won't leave.
Let's follow the cascade here. The clinical manifestations of these infections can vary widely, depending on the site of infection and the host's immune status. For example, a healthy person might handle a Staphylococcus skin infection differently than someone with a compromised immune system.
So understanding these syndromes is key for healthcare providers. It helps them connect the dots between symptoms and the underlying pathogens. It's all about recognizing the patterns.
Exactly. Early recognition can lead to better outcomes, so knowing these syndromes is crucial in clinical practice.
So let's jump into how we actually diagnose these gram-positive cocci infections. It's a bit like solving a mystery, isn't it? The first step often involves taking a good look at the patient's symptoms and medical history. But then we need some solid evidence.
Right on, Caitlin. The next step is usually a laboratory test. Microscopy is often used to examine samples, and if we see those purple-stained cocci under the microscope, it's a strong hint we're dealing with gram-positive bacteria. It's like finding the first clue in a detective novel.
Fair point, Olivia. After microscopy, culture techniques come into play. We grow the bacteria from samples, which allows us to identify the specific species. This is crucial because different species can lead to different clinical outcomes and require different treatments.
Plot twist! Sometimes these bacteria can be tricky. They might not grow well in standard culture media, or they can be masked by other organisms. That's where selective media comes in, like a VIP section for our gram-positive cocci.
Speaking of advanced techniques, molecular methods like PCR are becoming increasingly popular. They can detect bacterial DNA directly from clinical samples, which is super helpful for rapid diagnosis. It's like having a high-tech magnifying glass.
Let's follow the cascade here. The sensitivity and specificity of these diagnostic methods are key. We want to ensure that we're accurately identifying the pathogens without false positives or negatives. This is vital for effective treatment planning.
So, to recap, diagnosing infections caused by gram-positive cocci involves a combination of clinical assessment, microscopy, culture, and sometimes molecular techniques. It's like piecing together a puzzle to see the full picture.
Exactly. Understanding the diagnostic process is crucial for healthcare providers to ensure the right treatment is given at the right time.
All right, let's dive into how we treat and control these pesky gram-positive cocci infections. It's a bit of a balancing act, isn't it? First off, antibiotic selection is crucial. For example, Staphylococcus aureus can be sensitive to methicillin, but with the rise of MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, clinicians often have to think outside the box.
Right on, Caitlin. The choice of antibiotics really depends on the specific strain and its resistance patterns. We've got to be savvy about our options. For Streptococcus, penicillin is usually the go-to, but there are cases where resistance can pop up, especially with Streptococcus pneumonia.
Fair point, Olivia. The emergence of antibiotic resistance is a significant challenge. It's not just about treating the infection. We also have to consider how our choices impact the broader picture. That's where antibiotic stewardship comes into play. It's like being a responsible steward of our microbial environment.
Speaking of stewardship, infection control measures are essential in healthcare settings. Hand hygiene, proper sanitation, and isolation protocols can help prevent the spread of these organisms. It's like setting up a fortress to keep the invaders at bay.
Exactly. And education plays a huge role too. training healthcare staff about the risks of these pathogens and the importance of following protocols can significantly reduce infection rates. It's all about teamwork.
Let's follow the cascade here. When we implement effective treatment and control strategies, we not only protect individual patients, but also the community at large. It's a ripple effect. What we do in one area can have far-reaching consequences.
So, to sum it up, treating infections caused by gram-positive cocci requires a tailored approach, considering antibiotic resistance and implementing robust infection control measures. It's a multifaceted battle.
And that's why understanding these dynamics is crucial for effective healthcare delivery. It's all written in the code of our treatment protocols.
So, as we wrap up today's episode, let's reflect on what we've learned about our gram-positive cocci friends. We've covered a lot of ground, from their unique identities to the clinical syndromes they cause. It's fascinating how these tiny organisms can have such a big impact on our health.
Right on, Caitlin. We also delved into their pathogenesis and how they evade our immune responses. Understanding these mechanisms is crucial for developing effective treatments and control measures. It really highlights the importance of ongoing research in microbiology.
Fair point, Olivia. And we discussed the various diagnostic methods that help us identify these pathogens accurately. It's all about connecting the dots between symptoms and laboratory findings to ensure the right treatment is given. This connection is vital in clinical practice.
Speaking of treatment, we talked about the challenges of antibiotic resistance and the need for proper stewardship. It's a balancing act between treating infections effectively and minimizing the risk of resistance. It's like a game of chess. Strategic moves are essential.
Exactly. And let's not forget the role of infection control measures in preventing the spread of these bacteria. Education and awareness are key components in tackling these infections in healthcare settings.
Let's follow the cascade here. The insights we've shared today not only apply to gram-positive cocci, but can also inform our approach to other pathogens. It's all interconnected in the grand scheme of microbiology.
So to all our listeners, thank you for joining us on this microbial journey. Remember, there's always a microbe behind the curtain, and understanding them is crucial for our health. Tune in next time for more fascinating discussions.